President Bush says he's reserving all of his options to act against Iraq, but won't disclose them at this time. The president has described Iraq, North Korea, and Iran as an axis of evil, developing weapons of mass destruction and backing international terrorism. The United States has accused Iran of sheltering Taliban and al-Qaeda fighters who have fled across the border from Afghanistan, but Iranian officials deny that. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld says Iran's actions interfere with international efforts to fight terrorism.
They have, to our knowledge, been quite accommodating to al-Qaeda people transiting from Afghanistan through Iran towards the Middle East. It's been notably unhelpful to the war on terrorism and to our efforts to stop terrorists from attacking us and our friends and allies and deployed forces. Iran is an interesting case. You have, I think, a lot of particularly young people and women and others who would like to see reform, and yet you have a very small group of Revolutionary Guards and Ayatollahs that control the country, and they don't seem to be making much progress. I'm always hopeful that a country will change, but we have not seen much that would indicate that they're changing and want to be a part of the civilized world.
Any chance they would turn these al-Qaeda fighters over to you?
Not likely.
Also, some Taliban are under negotiations to surrender, something like 15 Taliban leaders, possibly some cabinet ministers. Mm-hmm. Will you be getting hold of those people or making some effort to have them turned over to U.S. forces?
Well, you know, for months now, there probably hasn't been an hour in any day that there have not been negotiations like that, where people have been trying to decide what they're going to do. It's now pretty clear that the Taliban don't run the government, but there are still a lot of Taliban in the country, and indeed al-Qaeda and Taliban in neighboring countries across borders that could come back. The ones that want to come back and the ones that are in the mountains hiding do from time to time make contact with friends. And in some instances, local factions want to increase their capability and their power and their heft with the different tribes or different elements. And so they sometimes want to bring them in and have them be supporters of theirs. So discussions take place. And of course, the interim government of Afghanistan has been wonderfully helpful with us and recognized the risk to them and the risk to the country if senior Taliban people are brought back in and allowed simply to go back to their old ways.
Each day this week, the Washington Post has had another story on an accident. A raid, a bombing mission in which civilians in Afghanistan have been hit.
Mm-hmm. Let me just qualify that slightly. They've had reports in the newspaper that allege that those things have happened.
Some of which you've investigated, some of which you've acknowledged.
We are investigating, right.
Are these the result of intelligence failures, or is it a case of U.S. forces being used by rival Afghan factions to target one another?
I can't speak to any of the ones that you're making reference to in current newspapers because investigations are underway. But I can speak to the problem generally, and I would list the following categories. In some cases, it is because a mistake was made. That's one category. In another case, it is the possibility that you suggested that one faction can try to encourage misinformation so that another faction that they're opposed to will be harmed. That's possible. We do not know of any instances where we have executed improperly in those cases. We do know of at least one instance where we were misled and found out about it prior to execution of the campaign.
As a result of these incidents, have you made any changes in policy or procedure to make sure you know who you're striking when you strike?
Well, we know of the thousands of sorties and the tens of thousands of weapons dropped and efforts on the ground. We know of less than a handful of instances where, in fact, there was a mistake made. We take great care. These people are exceedingly well trained, not just our folks, but the coalition forces that are operating on the ground with us. We are also operating generally with Afghan troops mixed in with ours. And what we do is every time there is an allegation or a suggestion or a question raised, the central commander, General Franks, asks to have it looked into. And it is through that process and then the lessons learned from that when you find that, in fact, it was a proper thing to do, but it looked for 3 weeks during the investigation as though it wasn't, then you have to say to yourself, how can you avoid that? Because that's not helpful. If you find out it was a mistake, then you have to go back and find out how that happened. What was the evidence that led the people making the decision to go forward that misled them? It is. We've got wonderful people out there doing a great job, and it's a shame that we see day after day in the press these articles, because it leads a reader to the impression that there's a lot of it. And the short answer is there is very, very, very little that anyone could characterize as a mistake.
The CIA director says Al-Qaeda is regrouping. The interim government in Afghanistan says the Taliban is regrouping. Leaders of both are at large. What can you show for the billions spent?
The circumstance of the people in that country is so vastly better today, it is just breathtaking. And that anyone could even wonder what has been accomplished when right before our faces is this exciting and thrilling change that's taken place in that country. Now, we have also said, as you properly point out, that the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban haven't gone away. They've drifted into the mountains. They've drifted over borders. These are serious people. And we didn't catch them all. We didn't kill them all, as hard as we've tried. So we have an effort going on to try to run them down and find what we do know has been accomplished is that we have them running. We know we've arrested a lot of their people. And we know he have others under interrogation.
But the president says there are tens of thousands of terrorists out there.
Right, but the president didn't invent them. They exist. They've been being trained for decades. They are there. That is a fact of our world. We just simply have to get up in the morning like adults and say, fair enough. How do we live in this world? What do we do about the fact that thousands of these people were trained to go around killing people? What we do about it is we get serious about it, and we say to ourselves, fair enough, we will declare war on them.
The president said in February, we've got some tough choices to make, but that's why you get elected. What happened to the tough choices?
Well, we've made some real tough choices. Let me tell you what we've done here in a year. We have a new force sizing construct. For 10 years, we've used the two major regional conflicts as the way to size our forces. We've shifted that. We have spent hours developing a new nuclear posture, which includes deep reductions in strategic offensive weapons and a shift in how we're going to be arranged with respect to offenses and defenses from a nuclear standpoint. We have briefed the president within the last week on a new unified command plan that represents some of the biggest changes in how our military is organized worldwide. The department that is considered hard to change, stubborn, bureaucratic, unwilling to make hard decisions, has in fact in 1 year made enormous strides forward in terms of how we do our business. And I don't think any serious student could look at what this department's accomplished in that year and not change their impression of the department's ability to face the future with its head up and going in the right direction. We've made a lot of tough choices.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. The entire interview can be heard on the website npr.org.